Thank you for joining us today at fourthstream.com.
Oh, you're welcome. I always like hanging out with you, Bernadette.
Today we're going to talk about angels, but I'm going to back up a little. I grew up in a Christian home and enjoyed experiencing truth around me just with regularity. Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't coarse joking. I learned a lot about giving, spontaneous giving, and, you know, regular giving.
Lots of good solid things you learned.
Yeah, speaking honestly, having integrity. But one of the downsides, if it can be called that, and I think everybody runs into this probably, I hope. Well, whatever. Maybe I don't hope.
We'll see.
Yeah. One of the downsides is often things stayed in theory form rather than really internalizing them. And one of those topics was angels. I didn't really flesh out what I believed. And so I believed that they were real for then, for showing up with Mary, for showing up with Daniel.
Yeah. It's not like you denied their existence.
Right. But I didn't bring it forward into, you know, what it meant for today. So I never realized how personal the attacks are or how big the battle is and personal the battle is.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking at these nine different major areas of the threads all the way through the scriptures about different big areas of doctrine, like Jesus the Son and man, creation's crown. And so we bump into this one on angels, and I'm always struck by how much data there is on angels and about the angelic realm.
You gave me some of your data, and I was like, holy cow, I don't have time to look all these up. I just had to trust you.
You know, it's not like I want to be an expert on angels. I want to be an expert on what the scriptures teach. So what's been good for me has been to look through the biblical encounters and the teaching about angels. And so I can see where it fits in with human beings. It's not like I bump into angels every day, but angels are all around us
right.
Every day.
And I never really considered just how much they knew. Like, can they be injured? How much do they know?
Sure.
Can they die? Do they have any choices? Do they love us, or are they just curious about us and have to guard us because that's what they've been tasked with? And where do they get their tasks?
tons of questions when you start thinking about the angelic realm.
But there are a lot of answers.
There are, and when we encounter some of these references today, think in terms of we're not just talking about angels. We're talking about, Paul talks about this in Ephesians, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We know from the book of Revelation that there are four living creatures and 24 elders. So there seems to be a whole realm that's going on concurrent, and not only concurrent with us, but we've been created in the midst of that greater realm, which makes sense because we're talking about an infinite God, right? So Job 38 is very instructive. In fact, the whole book of Job is instructive. Those first three chapters
is.
And then getting, especially when you're thinking about the relationship between angels and
man. How not to be a good friend.
Yeah.
But, or a bad friend.
in Job's listening to God, and God's saying, hey, where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much, because obviously we're dealing with a pride issue here. And this is at the end of the book, by the way. Who decided on its size? Certainly, you know that. Who came up with the blueprints, the measurements? How was its foundation poured? And who set the cornerstone? Well, all the morning stars sang in chorus and all the angels shouted praise. Now, you talk about macro.
Yeah.
That is big picture stuff. Impressive. And then when you start, your mind starts going there, it's very expansive.
Well, yes, it makes me wonder, did they care about us as they were watching all this creation? Did they, again, were they curious about this earth and the people thing and how that all works? And when did they realize they were going to have to fight for us and be in on it?
Yeah.
It just makes me curious.
That's one of the things that just kind of pops out. And I think in the book of Hebrews, it just talks about the fact that they're ministering spirits sent out, you know, for us who are going to inherit salvation. So we are totally woven into the story of angels just like they are. And that's why all the way through the scriptures, they keep popping up. And it wasn't like the Jews didn't understand that there was an angel of the Lord and that angels were present in a lot of their experiences in the wilderness and then beyond.
Then Ezekiel 1 talks about all these creatures, a form of a human, but with more faces, and they had wings. You know, that's kind of a whole other conversation, but do they all look the same? We don't know, and what do they look like? Ezekiel has some vivid descriptions. No matter how they look, it's obvious that they're super powerful.
Beyond, I think, our imaginations, probably.
Yeah, because often when people see an angel, they fall down, and not necessarily in worship, because the angel often says, fear not, and helps them back up. So you recognize that they're falling because this is kind of scary.
If you want to spend a little time and get just insight, it's like an open window that Ezekiel gives us. In Ezekiel chapter 1, it's worth reading. It's hard to comprehend, hard to understand everything that's going on, but as you look at it, you realize that the relationship between the earth and heavenly places is very vast and very broad and very powerful and very much a part of the creation that God has given us.
In Joshua 15.
Oh, I love this. This is one of my favorite passages.
He appears as a man, and he's the captain of the host of the Lord. It says, now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. And he carried a sword.
Let me translate this for you. I'm not for you. I'm not for your enemies. I am for the Lord of hosts. I can't tell you how many times I've been in situations and God has taken me back to that picture about principalities and powers. And I want to be on God's side. I don't want God to be on my side. I want to be on God's side, because then God will, and then I will be on God's side. That was kind of confusing, but you know what I mean.
No, I got it. What about bad angels, fallen angels?
Yeah, there's some nasty ones.
Well, Isaiah 13, I'm going to start in verse 13. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And it keeps going on like this. And this is Satan.
Yeah.
Deciding
prophetically
that
prophetically explaining. It can't be talking about a human person, because a human person couldn't experience this even in their heart and in their mind. Okay. So, in the broader picture of angels, and I'm going to kind of pop out here to the overall teaching, it looks like a third of the angels fell. Okay,
because they took sides.
Because of the rebellion. And it looks like there are three archangels or master angels, because it's principalities and powers. So there's an authority structure that flows around
the
throne of God.
They're sort of like commanders of a third of them.
And it appears that Satan, it was one of those, and then Gabriel was another one, and Michael is another one. So in the big picture, that's the way it appears. So it wasn't like a 50-50 split. It was like one third of the angels fell and they became demons. Now, think about how many angels there are. They're not procreating. They're not more angels, but they appear to be innumerable. Like, you think about billions of people on the earth. It's hard to imagine how many angelic beings there are. And so that's the big picture. A third of the angels have basically gone into rebellion against God, and the other two thirds are still doing the will of Creator. And here we are in the middle of a truly cosmic conflict with huge ramifications.
It's a huge fight. Another question I had then, do bad angels really, are they out to do us harm? That's something I'd never considered, how personal the fight is.
Short answer, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, it appears that Satan is obsessed with establishing his kingdom above God's kingdom. And that makes us all, every human being, it makes us all targets of his deceiving and of his lies. And that's incredible to think about the impact of that and the power of that.
There are two pieces of scripture that I think are interesting. We're told in the New Testament that, yes, they are basically outdoing Satan's bidding to steal, kill, and destroy from us individually.
Yes.
On the other hand, I think it's interesting that in Daniel, when the angel was trying to get to Daniel to tell him what the answer to his prayer and vision was, that he was detained 21 days because he was fighting the prince of Persia, a bad angel. And so it really makes you see the system that they have. It's like an authority structure of a main guy, maybe some more angels, like platoons.
Minions.
Kind of, yeah. But how personal it is on one hand and how macro it is on another. It's just mind-boggling.
You know, this is such a huge study, and I appreciate, you know, what you've brought with regard to insights there, Bernadette, because there's so many directions you can go with a consideration of this. If you go down to the bottom of the post, you'll find something called the angelic realm, something on seeing angels. There's three great studies, and one of them is just everything about angels in the Bible representatively. It's kind of like the whole story of angels. Mm-hmm. So that's a great study in and of itself, and a great thing to talk about with your kids and with your Sunday school class, different people that you know. There's also one on seeing angels where it talks about different encounters. We mentioned Job already. Well, Abraham, Michael and Satan, Balaam mm-hmm. and the donkey.
I didn't even have time to go there.
Yeah. So that's a great study in and of itself. And then there's another one that I called the angelic realm. And that kind of tracks the whole thing through and includes the part about angels and Jesus, angels in the end, angels and us. So plenty of data, plenty of information for you to go after mm-hmm. as far as opening up that part of the golden threads that are in the scriptures that are woven together so that we can have everything that we know, that we need to know mm-hmm. related to the bigger things that are going on around us.
Well, I feel like we've talked a lot about the fight that's going on, mm-hmm. but just a kind of a peaceful one is the angels took care of Jesus. So in Mark, it says, at once, the same spirit pushed Jesus out into the wild, and for 40 days and nights, he was tested by Satan. Wild animals were his companions, and angels took care of him. But then in Luke, it says that when he was praying in the garden and asking God to remove this task from him because it was too daunting, even though it was God's will, you know, at once an angel from heaven was at his side strengthening.
Wow, the Son of God.
Yeah, and you know that he was, his courage was waning a little. He was saying, God, really, if it's your will, take this from me. I don't want to do this, even though he was willing. And just that an angel came and strengthened him. And I don't believe that that's not true for us also.
Absolutely.
I think it is true for us.
Well, let's end with this passage in Revelation 5. You talked about that last one being the peaceful aspect mm-hmm. of that, the comforting aspect. This is the glory aspect of it, okay? Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads. Now, a myriad is 10,000. So it's like 10,000 times 10,000, which I think is quite a bit. I've never done the math, but it's a lot. Thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. This chokes me up reading.
I know.
Power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Angels are a big part of you being established and me being established in our faith.